to the translation now. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is a form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of it being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and always spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is so because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. I will read the purport of the next verse. Since Krishna's transcendent body, name, form, qualities and pastimes and entourage are all the absolute truth, they are as good as Krishna himself. As long as the living entity is conditioned by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, the objects of his material senses, material form, taste, smell, sound and touch will not help him understand spiritual knowledge and bliss. Now this is difficult on an empty stomach, especially if there are children screaming, so I will have to make it a little bit more simple. But one thing I notice during these classes, and now today is this exception, I would like to request those parents who have small children to have them somewhere, to be with them somewhere else, because I will not be able to make the things intelligible for the small children. They will not be able to really benefit from this atmosphere. In fact, they might feel unattended and uncared for. So please, during this session, take care of your children nicely. So here's the point. This is a very important point. As long as we are conditioned by the three modes of material nature, we cannot hope to understand spiritual knowledge and bliss, because our senses can just not touch Krishna. We have material senses which can see material form and taste material tastes and smell and so on and so forth. But we require spiritual senses in order to see Krishna. See, with your eyes you cannot see thought. It's not possible to see these things. So how will your eyes be able to see a totally transcendental personality who is even beyond the reach of your material thoughts? These means Krishna's qualities and so on, Prabhupada continues, are revealed to the pure devotee. What's material name, form and qualities are certainly different from one another. In the material world, there is no conception of absolute. However, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we find that there is no material difference between Krishna's body and his names, activities, and entourage. So, in this very important verse, a very important point is made, that there is But by our material senses which we have now, we just cannot fathom or grasp Krishna's name. Our material mind will be forever unable to understand Krishna's name. Our material senses will be forever cursed to stay in darkness when it comes to Krishna's form. But the name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, can be revealed to us. It means they can show themselves to us even in our conditioned state of being, if we just get it right. So in this class we will talk about getting it right. Let me just offer my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada before. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vaskajyage Satane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My spiritual master often refer to Krishna consciousness as an open secret. A secret is usually something which is hidden from us. We say, keep this secret, under no circumstances reveal this to another person. Then the other person says, I promise, and then we have a secret, something which is not known to anyone else than to the between the two of us. So Krishna consciousness is referred to as a secret. It is something which is not really known in this world. There are only two who can understand them. A very exalted devotee, pure devotee, can understand this, and Krishna. It's between him and Krishna, Krishna consciousness. And it's a well-kept secret. However, it has become open. There is a possibility to learn it, although usually secrets are not even revealed under torture. Hare Krishna. They remain secrets. But this is an open secret. Yes, under certain circumstances, it is possible that this secret or this experience of Krishna consciousness is revealed to us. This particular circumstance which is required so that Krishna consciousness is revealed to us is Shraddha. Shraddha is difficult to translate. We translate it usually as faith. But it is different from mere belief. You can believe something, like many people believe many things, but Shraddha is a little different from this. Shra means heart and Dha means to give. Shraddha is something which happens when you give your heart to something. Not just when you believe it, or I believe people went to the moon, or I do not believe people went to the moon. I believe a shark ate or killed someone 3 days ago. No, I don't believe it. It was a trick of the media. You know, belief is something quite relative. But Shraddha has that, let us say, that fervor or this intensity of giving your heart to something. And in the Harinam Chintamani, it is discussed that those who can give their heart to the holy name, who have Shraddha in the holy name, they are qualified to really enter the secret. It is said, the Supreme Lord has given to every human being the right to chant the holy name. The Lord has also placed all his powers in the holy name. But only he who has faith in the holy name is qualified to chant it. He who has faith is saintly and pious, and to him who has faith, the holy name will appear in his mouth. My dear devotees, this Shraddha of faith is the qualification for entering the open secret of Krishna consciousness. It's the only qualification. That means no other qualification is required. But if this qualification is not met, if the faith is not there, then the holy name will remain, I liked what Gaurahari said this morning, a stranger. A stranger is very close to you. He may sit just 1 meter away from you. But because he is a secret, you don't know him, he remains distant, very distant from you. I believe that many of us have this relationship still to the holy name. He is a stranger, a close stranger, you could say. Close because we grow up with it. Some of us chant already more than 30 years. Imagine this. Yesterday I met one person who said, I was born here and I'm already 37 years here. So wonderful. But it could be. I don't believe that this is the case in that person's life. But it could be that although for 37 years we have heard the holy name, we have sung it, he has remained a close stranger. Close in the sense that he is very close to us, but stranger because he has not yet revealed himself to us. He has not yet allowed us to enter into the secret of his understanding. Only when you have a relationship to the holy name will the holy name reveal himself. And here it is said, what happens if he reveals himself? The name is complete, the verse says. It's not a material name, it's absolutely spiritual, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. In other words, when the holy name is no longer a stranger to you, you will, just imagine this, you will chant the name and you will see the form of Krishna and you will feel the qualities, for instance, of his kindness upon you. You will feel that, and at the moment where you feel it, you will taste what is called rasa. that is the spiritual experience of Krishna. You will be overwhelmed, or in simple Australian language, you will be blown away, man. Hare Krishna, I'm trying to learn your language. It will be stronger than any wave in the ocean which you surf. It will be stronger than any good taste you have ever experienced in a restaurant. It will be something which will be a rasa, means an absolutely overwhelming revelation of Krishna. Yes, that happens when the name is no longer a stranger, no longer a close stranger, but he says, come on, let's sit together now. I'm like this. I don't want to keep myself any longer hidden. I'm telling you this. I am like this. There's an ancient story about this revelation of the holy name, which is very beautiful. The story is about a powerful king, actually a priest, a Yuvaraj, a young king, a prince, who lives beyond the three oceans and the seven rivers in a wonderful palace. He's very kind. He's extremely beautiful. He's creative, interesting. And more than anything, he is extremely powerful. Whatever he speaks with his mouth is immediately acted upon. Now, beyond the three oceans and the seven rivers, there lives a poor girl in a forest in a little cottage. And she has only two friends, a deer and a little bird. One day the bird is missing and does not return after even half a year. The girl is extremely morose and the deer dies from pangs of separation. Then, after 9 months, the bird is back. He's back with tidings of the prince and he says, poor girl, there's this prince beyond the seven rivers and the three oceans. He is so kind and benevolent. You have to meet him. The girl says, I don't know how will I meet him? It's very far away. And there are three oceans in between. I can't cross an ocean. And the bird says, you will see. Just a day later, there's a knocking at the door of the girl. Who could it be? No one ever comes to this forest, the girl thinks, and goes out and opens the door and finds a wonderful looking personality. He has a turban, is dressed in elegant cloth, which show that he is royalty. And he says, my dear girl, I'm happy I found you. I have good news for you. The prince wants to see you. Wow, that prince? Who's beyond the rivers and the ocean? Yes, says the person. I'm the emissioner. Let me get the English word here with your help. Emissary? Is it the emissary or messenger?
Emissary.
Do you know this word? What it is? It's like a messenger. Emissary. I'm the emissary of the prince and you just follow me. So the girl goes. It's for many days, even half a year. She goes with the emissary. They cross the rivers. There are always boats wherever the emissary comes. He's really influential. And they finally cross the oceans also. And they come close to the palace. But as they come close to the palace, the girl has a severe problem. She has fallen in love with the messenger of the prince. Those of you who are girls laugh because they know how emotions can sometimes go this way and that way, and so on. And she thinks, the prince has sent this emissary to meet me. The prince is interested in me, but I am so faithless. I'm so disloyal. I'm like an ordinary person from the street. I've just fallen in love with this man. And she develops some trepidation of fear. And so they arrive at the gates of the palace. It's a beautiful palace with large front gates and a path or a road which is lined on two sides by beautiful trees which look like desire trees, and they come to this castle or this palace. And the emissary smiles as if he knows the thoughts of the girl. He says, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. What will happen now is I will go and inform the prince, and he will send somebody who will then guide you into his presence. So the girl waits in the room, and after some time, someone comes, a servant, and says, come with me, and brings the girl to the main hall where there's a throne, and on the throne, which is the throne of the prince, the girl is surprised to find who? The emissary. You know everything. Girl thinks, well, he was sent, wasn't it? He came to bring me to the prince, but he is the prince. Now I know. And I know why I fell in love with him. He found me. But he kept himself a close stranger. I thought he's the emissary. But no, he was all the way the prince. But only later I could recognize when I was ushered into the palace. My dear devotees, this is what is the knowledge of the holy name. We perceive the holy name not as Krishna when we start our journey. We see him maybe as a symbolic representation of God. Yes, it's a name. Some of us see him as an exquisite torture which we undergo every morning when we try to chant. And there are people who just call so loud that we can't concentrate in the hall, and so on. Or we see him as a sound vibration, which is used for mantra meditation. We see him maybe as something which becomes dearer as we progress in our spiritual life. But very rarely do we enter the hall of the holy name, the palace of the holy name, where we get some inkling that this is Krishna. We hope that during these this concentrated effort which we all undertake, this holy name retreat, we will at times get a little inkling means like a hint or a little taste maybe of just how wonderful the chanting of the holy name is, and something will happen to you. You will see. You won't believe it when it happens to you, but it will happen. But in the beginning states, as we start our journey, we have to invest faith in this. Therefore, only someone who has faith in the holy name can actually take up the chanting. At least we have to have the faith. This journey will bring us to our goal, like the girl who immediately left the house and followed that man who was a stranger to her, whom she thought was an emissary or messenger of the prince. She had that initial faith. This journey is God. I will be guided on this journey. Now, what is faith? Faith, as I said, I have little time to, and I can't really distinguish it very well from what it is not. But I will tell you, faith is something which grows. In the beginning stage, it's when the contamination of doubt has been removed and you find in your heart a favorable attitude towards the object of devotion and the practice to attain it. In simple Australian English, you find you have some feeling for this. Let me try. An inclination. You are inclined, you are leaning towards the holy name, and you are also leaning towards Krishna. You think of Krishna. It's very beautiful. He is cool. And I'm trying to speak Australian English. And you have some tendency towards the practice. But as faith goes through its journey, and we will hear in a moment what this journey is, something happens to that faith. That is an absolute clarity in the mind is there. And this faith will protect you on your journey, like a loving mother protects a little child. This faith will be always there for you, even in moments when doubts are thrown upon you by either your own conditioned nature or by people around you. So in the beginning we start with komal shraddha. Very komal means weak, small faith. But as we continue with this faith, like the girl who continued on the journey, something will happen to us. We will get what is called virya in Sanskrit. Virya, my dear devotees, is something which you absolutely require on your spiritual journey. It's strength, it's vigor, it's some energy which you find in your heart. So that you have actually the qualification to practice your spiritual path with some strength. If we are weak in our heart, then we always have to struggle. But if we find in our heart strength, we can conquer the obstacles, you know, of lust and of greed and so on. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm feeble, I'm fragile, my path is slippery, I always fall. May the saints
Give me the walking stick of their mercy so that I have that faith, that strength which I require. Bala, spiritual strength needs to be given to us so that we can pursue. You will see there are many who started this path, but because of the weakness of the heart, which we all have as conditioned soul, they lack the strength to walk with vigor and so on. The next blessing of faith, the first blessing is strength, is smriti. Smriti means something like to remember something. What this means is that when you have faith, you will always remember the instructions of the scriptures and the sadhus. You will remember it. It will come to you at times when you require this. This is a blessing of faith. Someone who is not faithful, he will forget everything, especially when he needs it. And so on. Someone who is faithful and whose faith is grown, he will get smriti, this remembrance or this blessing of an undisturbed mind. Now, as the journey of faith commences or continues, we say, you will get finally samadhi. Sama means the same and di means the same, means the level. You will come actually on the spiritual level where Krishna is to be found. So a faithful person will actually arrive on that plateau, that rare plateau where God walks, and he will meet him. Samadhi. Nam Samadhi. It means you will be so absorbed in the chanting of the holy name that, wow, not that you are not disturbed, that you're beyond being disturbed or undisturbed. You will actually walk on a platform where you will find Krishna. And finally, the blessing of growing faith is pragya. Pragya means where you see the things as you are. What this means is you can actually distinguish between your body and your soul. You know, I'm the soul. Come on, man, I'm not this body. It will be very clear to you. You will be very, very much fixed in this. And pragya means also you will actually realize Krishna. So this is the journey of faith. Let us summarize. There are a few stations. Who remembers anything? Oh, best of the listeners. I can't hear anyone, but I know someone says something. Oh, very good. You have a very good ability to remember. From this shraddha, as the shraddha grows, the first thing is you get
strength.
Strength. Inner strength. Not necessarily physical strength, but inner strength, which will help you to overcome the obstacles. Then as it progresses, you will get to the next state, which is smriti. It means you recollect the teachings of the shastras. You won't be an illusion. Then as it grows further, you will come to the state of samadhi, the spiritual level of Krishna consciousness. Yes. And as it grows, you will finally get pragya. Wonderful. I'm impressed by you. You will get a ability to distinguish what is self and what is not self, what is who is the Lord.
This is a wonderful journey of faith. Now, if you want this to happen, you need to know the two places where you have to connect your faith with. This is a very important point. There are two resting places where you should bring your faith to. Who has any idea in what we should have faith in Krishna consciousness, or Shraddha, where we should give our heart? Chanting of the holy name, thank you very much. That is the second item where we should place our faith. It's the process how we can attain Krishna, which is given in this age as the Naam. That is a resting place. There you should say, I put my faith on this. I put my... I don't want to say it like this, but I invest my faith in this. This will work. This has to work. That is the process. Yes. And this first item, I think it's a little difficult to say when you know the person knows already something he wants to say when a lecturer asks like this. I will tell you. It's the Shastras, the scriptures. They tell us about things which are beyond us, that they tell us about the spiritual reality. So these are the two resting places where you can put your faith in: the Shastras and the process of chanting. A devotee feels like this: I'm blind, but I rest my faith in the Shastras. The devotee wants to understand and realize the Shastras, and slowly he loses his faith in the lies of this world. When such a devotee hears about Krishna in the Shastra, that Krishna is Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen, he feels, wow, I have a chance. When he hears that he is Bhakta Vatsala, Krishna is the friend of the devotees, he feels, this is good information. Let me get some more information, what Krishna actually does as the friend of his devotees. And in this way, the devotee places his faith in the Shastras. My dear devotees, if you want to become a chanter of the holy name, you will have to go on a journey. It's a journey of faith which develops more and more into full realization. At the beginning, you may be like the poor girl. This analogy is given because in our essence, we are... we are female, we are to be enjoyed by the Lord, so we are prakriti by nature, and Krishna is the only Purusha. So in the beginning we will have to have some faith, but as our faith in the, where do we place the faith? In the Shastra. As our faith grows, my dear devotees, as you listen more and more about Krishna, his qualities, his world, his different names from the Shastra, you will grow internally. You will get strength eternally. Therefore, Prabhupada used to criticize us in Germany. He said, "I didn't write these books so that you can only distribute them. I wrote them for you." And he said sometimes, "If you don't read my books, after some time there will be no more Hari Bol, Hari Bol." No, it will all die. Because, you have lack to put your faith invest your faith in the Shastras, and then in the process which they give, by which you can obtain the Lord. My dear devotees, I read when I was young the books of Jack London. Do you know Jack London? He wrote one very well-received book, Wolfsblut. Every German boy reads Wolfsblut, the wolf, you know, something with a wolf. Wolf's blood. It's the name of a something like a wolf. And he describes there the gold rush. And I later, when I didn't read children's books any longer, I made some investigation. That was really something, my dear devotees. People would hear somewhere in America about gold, which would be in Alaska, which was easy to get, and they would place their faith into this, leave everything behind, and just go to Alaska, which was really cold. And then they would buy some tools, and they would then go into the rivers, and they would make this movement in the river bank. They would go like, you know, pick up the mud and the dust, and not dust, but the mud and stones, and then they would have this instrument. They would go, and finally some gold nuggets, this means small gold things like this, would fall through if they were successful. Jiva Goswami gives this analogy for the chanter of the holy name. Also as a chanter, you have to have the qualification that these people had. They heard something, and then they believed it, they had faith in it, and then they practiced the process to obtain it. So Shastra tells us about Krishna and his holy name, and also the process how to obtain Krishna. And like a gold hunter, or man who is after gold, we should follow that process no matter what. Come cold temperature or cold climate or the mosquitoes, they come in Alaska in bulk, they are in bulk available, more like in Mayapur in the evening, when they come and suck your soft Western blood, your sweet Western blood, I wanted to say. No, someone who is faithful will dig the gold and get the gold. So the resting place of faith, if you want to make the journey and enter the palace of the holy name, is Shastra and the process of how to chant the holy name. That's very important. Here in our holy name retreat, we will share with you the information of the Shastra, Harinam Chintamani, and in our workshops, they start always at 11 o'clock, we will immediately enter a process. Today, you will meditate about the holy name like anything. Especially when you're in the second part of the workshop, we will really go deep. You won't believe it. So the last point I want to discuss this morning, I'm going with great happiness to this point, is where do you get this faith? This faith which is so strong that you can do this journey. Where do you get this? Faith is something deep, no? Where you invest your life in. How does this happen?
Mercy,
yes.
Association with
devotees. It can be previous life, some of us. There may be in a previous life on this path already, if we continue. The Bhagavatam says something that there is a birthplace of faith. Satam prasangam mama viyasam vidu bhavanti hritkana rasayana katha tad yoshanad ashvapavagavatmani shradharatya bhakti anukramishyati. It says this verse, in the association of devotees, it is so relishable to hear about Krishna. And in that association, first Shraddha comes to you, this faith. Then the revelation of one's divine relationship with Krishna, Rati, comes. And then Bhakti comes. This Prema Bhakti, good first class love of Godhead. Therefore, this coming together on the holy name retreat and immersing ourselves in the subjects is very, very important. It will come there. I know for some of us it is a tall order. We are maybe young devotees, or we have been attacked by this, by the mass distraction weapons of this age of Kali. We just can't concentrate on anything except prasadam. That's basic, mostly the sweets. We suffer from this. This lack of taste of even, and so on and so forth. And we are maybe, when we look in the mirror, we detect a little greenness behind the ears. We are greenhorns on this vertebra path. Or we have our issues and our all these psychological stuff which we bring with us. But I request you to just do this practice, to just give yourself, while you are on the retreat, to this process of just hearing and practicing in the association of devotees. My dear devotees, as you go through this, which is for some of us like a marathon of in Krishna consciousness, no, because we will be asked to concentrate, we will be asked to be fully there, we will be asked to practice, we will be sometimes pulled out of our comfort zone, you know, the things which we usually do. By the way, if you keep on doing the things which you always do, you will only get the things which you always get. A definition of illusion is to think if I'm doing what I always do, I will get something what is new. You have to get it right, and so on. And I sincerely request you that we create like a community here, a community of learners who are eager to absorb themselves and go on this journey, the journey of faith, where we will get some strength, where we will be able to stay on the level of Krishna consciousness, and then get some pragya, some first class realizations. I so much personally like the story of the girl who was found by the prince. I feel all of us, we have not found Krishna consciousness, but we were found to Krishna consciousness. I really was found. I want to tell you something private or personal. It's a little embarrassing for me, but it is the truth, and I want to say this because I feel I want to be a little bit personal and not just lecture about things. In my own life, I can so much identify with this poor person who was brought into the presence of the king. I was very much interested in music, material music, when I was a young, wild boy in Germany. And I saw the devotees chanting in my hometown, Hamburg. But I was afraid that I would change my life and become like them. I was afraid for two reasons, because I felt my sense gratification will go. I knew a little bit about them. And I also knew that my parents would disinherit me and I would have to work. You know, I'm coming from a somewhat opulent German family, and I would get sufficient millions of our currency and would be taken care of. So, but I felt attracted. There was this Hari Nam party in a place called Jungfernstieg, and they would chant and dance always at the same time. And when I was in town, I would go opposite to the Hari Nam party. I would on the other side of the road, and I would pretend to read a newspaper. I would get a newspaper. You know, they were chanting there, and I would hear this chanting, and I would think, Hiya. When will they ever put good music to that song? I thought like this. Because I was a music lover. But I felt it's something mystical. It is good. So one day, I was on my way to the studio where we recorded something. We were called The Strangers. I was running to catch the train. And I was running, and I was crossing a bridge, a big bridge, like this big. And on one side of the bridge, the devotees were chanting. So I was running to get my train, and as I was running, I made a curve. I went this way, so that I would not run into them, you know. I would not be confronted with them. And so I ran, and I looked. Hopefully, I will escape them. And I just had my head like this and ran like this, and I ran into someone, and the impact was so strong that both of us went to the ground. And as I looked, whom I had almost killed, you know, it was a beautiful Hare Krishna lady, elderly lady, but nevertheless. So I saw, I had caused pain to this elder. She was quite beautiful, and I was not yet in this dress, you know, so I was interested also. Mildly interested, and I helped the girl to get up, the lady to get up. And I said, I'm very sorry I didn't see you. Yes, because you are so afraid of the Hare Krishna devotees. Why do you think I have not noticed you hiding behind your newspaper? You are so attracted, yet you try to run away from it.
Now this was a direct attack on my integrity, and I said, who are you to talk like this to me? You don't know me at all. And she just smiled and said, would you like to have one paper, one magazine, just so that you can inform yourself about what you are afraid? And this was a second attack. But she just smiled, and I just wanted to be very aggressive, but then I thought, I mean, why quarrel with someone? You know, why? She said, I said, yes, with the magazine. Why not? But then she said, could you give a donation, please, to print? And I said, I only have enough to pay my ticket. And she said, you Germans. I was visibly, you know, long hair and all the revolutionary attire, Che Guevara and so on. But Lenin said, what did Lenin said? Lenin said, when the Germans go to make a revolution, they are on the train station, they ask, do you have a ticket? This was the third attack. I said, ugh! And I gave her my ticket money, and I said, better we stop this conversation, because I'm just starting to go get into my volcanic mood, and I don't want to do this. And picked up the magazine, and I ran home, and went home, and I read the article, The Peace Formula by Srila Prabhupada. I couldn't understand a word. I could not understand how does this, what he writes about, have to do with peace. I just couldn't understand. I was in my own world. I was, but I must say, Krishna found me. He found me through the holy name. And he just caught my interest, and I began to read. I felt challenged. I have an article I cannot understand. I read it every evening to try to understand it. And after some time I thought, oh, this is very mystical, but that's very interesting. I'd like to know more about it. So I was found. I didn't find Krishna consciousness. I was found. So I feel really that all of that many of us are in the same situation. We something went into our world. Maybe something disturbed us in our own little world of Krishna consciousness, and now we need to catch this. And invest our Shraddha in this, and something wonderful will happen. The entry point into the mysteries of the holy name is really Shraddha. You need to connect with this. Maybe my only qualification was that I really started to read and not stop reading, and just had some faith. This seems to be an arrangement. No. Hare Krishna. So we have 12 more minutes. I want to see if you have any questions which you like to ask. I don't know how well I'm connecting to you. I think, can you understand my English? It's very German-like. No problem. Good. So let us see if you have something. I would prefer questions on the subject matter of the lecture.
Does the chanting of the holy name subdue the five forces of the sensual world, material world? Five wild horses?
the five wild horses. That does the chanting of the holy name subdue the five material senses, which are like wild horses pulling us? The chanting of the holy name is a Chintamani jewel, a wish-fulfilling jewel. That's something which does exist. You put this jewel, for instance, onto iron, and then it turns into gold. So the chanting is where you bring, when you, it's a Chintamani, means a thought jewel. Wherever you meditate on when you chant, that is what you, the chanting will give you. If you chant and you meditate on sense gratification, you will get sense gratification. Do you know that Steve Jobs, the celebrated founder of the Apple factory, computer branch, was a dish cleaner in the Boston Temple? He also chanted, but he invested material desires and he got what he wanted. This is very important. I know this is a point which we don't hear often. When you chant Hare Krishna and you want material sense gratification, you will get it. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this most disturbing point. He says, a Chintamani jewel can give anything to a person who has material desires. The Chintamani jewel of Krishna's names gives material piety, wealth, sense pleasures, and impersonal liberation. To persons who have no material desires, the Chintamani jewel of Krishna's name gives pure love for Lord Krishna. This Hare Krishna chanting of the ISKCON movement is not always bringing us where we want to go. We don't have it right. Just joining an institution without learning the process will sometimes bring us in the wrong direction. We have seen this with many, many devotees. Do you know that we have an apostasy rate? It means people who leave us of 90%. This is too much. Why is it so? Because their material desires have not stopped. Most probably they have gotten food for material desires. So if you chant without, here's a word for you, sambandha, and sambandha jnana, without knowledge of Krishna, you will get what you want. What your material desires want. Not that it's not what you want, but what the material desires want. One devotee wrote to me recently, after practicing for some time, I now want to be a normal human being. I want to experience life with its vigor and its colors, all the colors. I don't want to become color blind by following a spiritual process. Yeah, this is there. Material desires are also there. And we need to see what to do with them. So therefore, when you chant, now I will give you some good information which you will like. My dear devotees, focus your mind. Bring your heart to the practice. Shraddha means you bring your heart. Shra means heart and Da means to give. At least when you do this process, you should understand, I want you, Krishna. And as you do this, you will get Krishna.
Okay.
This is the idea of a Chintamani. It can give you anything you want.
There's a story in Vrindavan about a desire tree. Chintamani is a jewel, but there are also desire trees. There was a simple farmer going to it was getting late. He had gone to collect firewood, but somehow he had slept all day in the forest. And so evening came, and he said, he was still in the forest, and he said, I wish I would have the firewood. And then it made clack, 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 clack. And a whole pile of firewood was there. He thought, wow, I'm under a desire tree. He said, I better desire something else. I wish I got some gulab jamuns. That's a sweet. The gulab jamuns came flying on him, and he popped them in. He became extra tired. Then he said, "Oh, it's late a little, and I don't get home. I wish that I would get some bedstead, some nice bedding, so that I can sleep here with my full belly." Pang! A bed was standing there. Wow, he said. And then something happened to him. His paranoia came out. Oh, tiger, 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 tiger might come. And as he was thinking, tiger, 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 zoom, the tiger was there. And jumped at him. This is the end of the story. I don't know how it was, if he died or anything. So chanting is also like this. It's a desire tree. And if you have your material desires, if you say, I have material desires and I don't want them, they are something which doesn't bring me anywhere. I've followed them for so many years and so many lifetimes, and now I want really Krishna. If you are like this, you will get Krishna. But if you are dishonest, a cheater, and you wish your material life to prosper, that will also happen. That will also happen. We used to joke in the old times, when you are in this movement, you will get the three S: Psycho, Samsonite, and Sony. Psycho was a watch brand. I don't know if it's still existing. Samsonite is a suitcase, very good suitcase. And Sony is some recording device and playback. Yes, we were. And we all got it. I remember I also had this three S's. Before that I was poor, and then I had my material things. Courage. This holy name retreat will hopefully convince all of us that I want Krishna. And when that is clear, when your shraddha is clear, your faith is there, and your desires are proper, and you chant like this, my dear devotees, you will be successful. But if you have no faith and you're full with material desires, you won't really give it all what you haven't. You will stay on a material, on a compromised platform, even if you chant. Krishna. Now you all look at me, and I'm looking at you. This is intended. It's called a discovery lecture. Something we discover, something which we find out, something which challenges us. It's now 9:00. I wish to end the lecture here. I thank you so much for your wonderful attention. I want to ask this Bhanu Nandini to briefly tell us
what is next, or how it continues, please come here.